Welcome to the Faith Connection with Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church in San Antonio, Texas.
And so there's a word from the Lord, y'all. There's a word from the Lord that comes from the book of Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, it says this. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit God good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once, the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. I want to encourage our hearts from the subject this morning, breaking the rules. Breaking the rules. Yeah, from childhood, all of us are taught to keep the rules, aren't we? Sit on the furniture. Stop jumping up and down on that bed. You better sit down. That we're taught to apologize when we do other people wrong. Say you're sorry. Don't hurt other people. You got to keep the rules. That you need to tell the truth. Stop lying. Just tell the truth. Share your toys with other children. Treat people fairly. And take turns when you're playing the games. From early childhood, we're taught how to keep the rules. Because we know that rules are necessary. Rules are necessary to keep us safe. Rules are necessary to bring order. You think of any organization, any establishment, any business that does not have business rules to establish order. The rules bring stability. Rules teach us what's acceptable. Parents with children in your household, with teenagers, that there are rules for the house because you want your children to know what is acceptable and what's not acceptable behavior. That we establish rules so that we have some norms. And so we need rules, y'all. We need rules. Yet how many of y'all know we live in a world where a whole lot of folk break the rules? Driving down the street, you know the speed sign says 45 miles an hour. Why are you doing 60? they break the rules. There is lunch break, and you know you have 30, 45 minutes, but an hour and 15 minutes later, you still breaking. That's breaking the rules. At the grocery store, the sign says 15 items or less. Now, why you got 40 items? And you come in there with the smile, just skipping up there. The person behind you, hot as fish grease. They ain't got but 5 items. You got 40. We break the rules. People break rules. They hurt other people. They don't tell the truth. People break the rules. They mistreat other people. Rules are necessary. Rules are important, but there are some people that break rules. But the question I have before you this morning is, are there some rules that perhaps we should be willing to break? So here in the text, Jesus is in the synagogue. He's not in the temple. He's in the synagogue. He's in the local place of worship, probably in Capernaum. And this is where the Jews would assemble to worship, and they'd fellowship together. And so here Jesus is in the assembly. And Jesus, his eyes, y'all, there, his eyes of compassion are fixated on this man with a withered hand or a deformed hand. We don't know what happened to the man's hand, but we do know it was deformed. And so that would have been bad in those days, because if his hand was deformed, he could not work. He could not provide livelihood for himself. So he was probably reduced to nothing more than a beggar. But Jesus' eyes are fixed on the man. But the Pharisees' eyes, they're calculating eyes. They're cutting eyes. They're fixed on Jesus. They're trying to find some way to trip him up. They're trying to find some way to accuse Jesus, because here Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he's ready to heal a man with a deformed hand. Now this is the second Sabbath situation in the book of Mark where Jesus meets opposition from the Pharisees or the religious leaders of the day. You see, the first one is just a few verses before in Mark chapter 2. That it says that Jesus was walking with his disciples and they were going through the grain fields and they began to pluck heads of grain and they began to eat them. Pharisees rolled up on Jesus and said, listen, y'all ain't supposed to be doing that. You know the rules, don't you? That you're not supposed to harvest on the Sabbath. I see no John Deere tractors out there. They just plucking some stuff and they just trying to eat. But little did they know how much Jesus knew about the law. He was there when it was written. That's not what the law is. Here's what the law really said. Listen, he says, when you go through your fields and you harvest your fields, leave the corners for the poor and for the strangers that pass through. So they're messing everything up. But what I want you to see is the atmosphere now. As we get to Mark chapter 3, can you sense the tension that's in the synagogue as Jesus stands looking at this man with a deformed, this withered hand, and they're looking at Jesus and they're mad. They're mad as Hades. They're trying to find a way to kill Jesus. But Jesus takes this unorthodox stance, y'all, to override the Sabbath rules that they had in their heads to heal this man. And all along, they're plotting to kill Jesus. Let me ask you again, are there some rules that you think are worthy of being broken? Can we be like the late congressman and elder statesman John Lewis, who would be willing to get into good trouble? Is there some trouble worth getting into as it relates to serving other people and bringing healing into their lives? So I think this text says something just about being like Jesus when it really matters. And asking ourselves, are we rule followers, or are we willing to be rule breakers when it's necessary? And so then Jesus sets the example for us in the text. Don't let rules get in the way of doing what is right. Don't let rules get in the way of doing what's right. It may mean putting your neck on the line, your job on the line, your rep on the line, but if it's right in the sight of God, listen, it's okay. I think it's okay to break some rules. Now understand something. Jesus never broke God's law. He was sinless. He was perfect in all of his ways, but Jesus had no problem with defying these man-made rules and stuff that the Pharisees and religious leaders made up in the day. He had no problem ruffling their feathers because they were self-righteous. Think about this. The Pharisees, they made up some 600 plus rules besides the Mosaic law. So you got to do it like this. It's got to be done that way. You got to do it. All of this so that they could prove their religious piety, that they were holy, that they were all of that in a bag of chips. But Jesus was a rule breaker. That he didn't care about their traditions. He disregarded a whole lot of their rituals and the details of all of these 600 plus rules that they came up with. That Jesus broke social rules, that he ate with sinners. He broke natural rules. Jesus walked on water. That Jesus touched unclean people. He he went off in the temple. Y'all know the story that Jesus rose up in the temple, and you got merchants and money changers up in there. Jesus gets mad. He braids a whip, turns over the money tables. Then he goes plumb off in the temple, in the house of God. That Jesus didn't mind breaking rules when it really, really mattered. And Jesus really said, there's only two main rules. Love God. And love other people the way you love yourself. Y'all, if we could just get that part down. If we could just truly love God with all of our heart. And if we could truly love people, truly love one another the way God loves us, man, we'll accomplish a whole lot in this world. So here we are, looking at the text. And saying to us, am I a rule follower or a rule breaker? That sometimes we disdain and look down on people that come up with a whole bunch of rules. That they have their own preferences and their biases about worship and about life and about this and that. It's not from God. It's stuff that people make up. People that say, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be done. According to who? And oftentimes it's just according to me. And maybe somebody's listening in right now and you say, I wish so-and-so was here today to hear this because, man, are they a Pharisee? And if you're a person that's thinking that today, listen, you better slow down and think about it. This bud is for you. Because according to the text, how do we not allow rules to get in the way of doing what's right? How do we not allow our own rules, our ways of thinking, the way we trip in our head about things and people sometimes to get in the way of serving God the way he wants us to serve him? As a church family, how do we not allow rules to get in the way of us of serving and ministering to people? I remember many years ago, a young lady came into the church. She had some friends with her, and I don't know what she was smoking. Well, she was full though. She was tipsy, y'all. Yeah, I don't know where they just come, but she came into church, and some of y'all remember she comes down the aisle right in the middle of worship, and she plops down right in the front seat. She sits in the pastor's chair. Now, I looked around the room. I could tell them something. Oh, well, she's sitting in the pastor's chair. Wait a minute now. And remember what we said, just leave her alone. That she's here, God brought her here for a reason. So whatever rules we were tripping on at the time, let the rules go. Let her be ministered to. And so here's some things I want to leave with us today, and we'll be done with our message. How do we not allow rules to get in the way of doing what's right? Let me suggest this first as it relates to the text. See people over personal biases. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Notice the text says that Jesus saw the man. It's understood, too, that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they saw the man as well. And some historians say that the man probably was a plant. That the religious leaders brought him into the synagogue because they wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. And knowing Jesus, whether Jesus was going to heal them, and they were going to bring accusations against Jesus. So Jesus sees the man. The religious leaders see the man. But the question is, did they see the same thing? Jesus saw a need. Jesus saw a man with a withered hand, with a deformed hand. Like I said before, most likely he could not work. He was probably reduced to begging. Jesus saw through the eyes of compassion. All they saw was a pawn, like a piece of the chess game, to be used for their own goodwill. That they weaponized the rules to their advantage. We live in a society where many people weaponize rules to their advantage and leave the disadvantaged out in the cold. That people choose and make rules that fit them well. And when the rule doesn't fit them well, they can toss aside the rule, but the rule still applies to me. Yeah. It still applies to you. Yeah. That we live in a society where people weaponize rules against us. That's why I say some rules need to be broken every once in a while. Look at Mark chapter 5, We see the story of Jesus encountering a man possessed with a demon. And Jesus gets to the other side of the lake. The demon-possessed man comes to Jesus, bows before Jesus, and he says, what you got to do with me, Jesus? What you want to do with me? Read the story for yourself. Jesus asked the man, what's your name? The man was living in the graveyard, y'all, running through the cemetery, cutting himself. People tried to chain him, but he broke the chains. Jesus said to the demon, what's your name? He says, my name is Legions, for we're many. Before it was all said and done, Jesus cast the demon out of the man. The man was well. But the demon, before that happened, the demon would say, well, Jesus, give us some place to go. And the Bible says there were a herd of pigs, some 2,000 pigs nearby. And Jesus said, listen, go. You can get in the pigs. Y'all know the story. The demons jumped into the pigs. The pigs rolled down the hillside. They drowned themselves in the lake. People are stunned. They look at, they going around telling what Jesus had done. And people were coming near and far. And they said to Jesus, Jesus, leave us alone. Get out of here. Can you imagine that? After seeing this miracle, what Jesus has done, the people are saying to him, Jesus, we don't want you here no more. You need to get up out of here. And I believe it's for at least two reasons. Number one, because Jesus did something supernatural. And so it freaked them out. Wait a minute. This is weird. But number two, I really believe this, that Jesus messed with their pigs. Jesus, if you stick around here, you're going to kill all our pigs. Man, you need to go somewhere. But I need y'all to stay with me. Can you imagine? A man that was demon-possessed for a long time received a healing, and all they could say, Jesus, you need to get up out of here. You messing with our pigs. You messing with our money. You messing with our success. I need you to go. Jesus, the rule is you got to get out of here. I wonder how many people at some point in life prefer pigs over people. How many people prefer their own way of thinking about stuff, their own way of seeing people, their own pigs of rituals and traditions, and God wants to move in a different way, in a different direction, but all we see are our pigs. This is my stuff. The Pharisee was saying, don't mess with my good thing, man. This is our good thing, and you messing with it. You messing with our pigs. How many people use rules to disguise their personal disdain for people and things that we find repulsive, and we try to cover it up with some good old Christians? But you know the Word of God says. Let me be transparent for a minute. Let me be real with you. A couple of weeks ago, Jackie and I were at one of the malls in town, and she was shopping for a birthday gift for me, and just being real with y'all, going to a department store. There would appear to be a man, but he was fully dressed in woman's attire. I mean, the nails was dead. Face was laid, y'all. Hair and everything. Nice as could be. Very pleasant. Just smiling and helpful. But here I am in my pastoral role, in my dignified self. And I'm tripping in my head, y'all. I'm just tripping. I'm straight tripping. I'm just, Lord, Jesus, no. I'm tripping. But I'm seeming to be kind of fake to myself because I'm smiling back at the person and saying, but on the inside, y'all, it's my rules are pinging, y'all. My rules are going off in my head. My stuff and my own, it's going off in my head. And this can't be right. Now understand something. Listen. Love does not say that we have the license to say to everybody that everything is okay. That's far from the truth. But love does say that we have to love people where they are. That we have to love people in their brokenness, in their issues, and in their stuff. Isn't that how God did with us? Didn't he love you through your issues and your mess and through your stuff? And we'll do the same thing with other people. So God is like, you snatched me by the rules, reins of my mind. Who do you think you are? That's your job, your role is just to love them. You smile back and you have an authentic heart. Have an authentic heart with them.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus gave me his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy. And I'm going to share that with other people. But we have to see people over our own personal biases. Yes, the Word of God says this. Yes, the Word of God is true that we don't violate the principles of the Word of God. But the highest principle that he gave us is to love him and to love other people. And so how do we not let our rules get in the way? Our own issues, the stuff that's in there. How do we not let it get in the way? The second thing is this. When good things become an ultimate thing, ultimately that good thing can become destructive. Look again at the scriptures, verses 3 through 4. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer. Jesus says to them, come stand in front of the crowd. Can you imagine what courage that must have taken? I mean, at this moment, he didn't know what Jesus was going to do or say. That here he comes up, he's coming up with his deformity, and he's standing in front of the congregation. He's standing in front of the crowd. He didn't know what was up. Was Jesus going to ridicule him? Was Jesus going to talk about him because of his deformity? I saw how you came up in here, and you just wasn't looking right. I saw how you came up here with them earrings in your ear. I saw how you came up in here. You just ain't looking right to me. I saw how you came in here, and your dress was too short. Was he going to ridicule him? Was he going to talk about him? Was he going to put him? He really didn't know what was up. What was Jesus going to be up to? That the good thing may have been just to stand in the crowd. Don't move. Just stay right there. Don't go nowhere. But look at the Pharisee in the text. Look at them. They took a good thing, y'all. They took the law of God, which is a great thing and a perfect thing, but they used it to their advantage. That instead of using it as a mirror to show people how far apart they were from God, they use it like a bat to beat people over the head and to misuse them and to mistreat people. The law was good, but the Pharisees, their rules were bad. And the ultimate thing was not necessarily the law. The ultimate thing was getting to Jesus and being like Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate goal for us. We look at the parallel account of the story in Matthew chapter 12. The Pharisees asked, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? They were hoping they could trap Jesus up. They could accuse him of something. He answered this. I love what Jesus says. If you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, would you go and get that sheep out of the well? Of course you would. I don't care what day of the week it is that you're there to save the sheep. It's about the sheep. Of course you do it. So how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? That Jesus was like, on the Sabbath, yeah. On God's day, yes. Go get the sheep. It's more about the person than the animal. It's more about the person than the thing. It's more about the person than your own man-made rules, the stuff that you trip on in your head. It's more about that. Don't have time to really spend a lot of time talking about the Sabbath, but we know the Sabbath, it really means rest or to cease from work. It comes from the Old Testament when God ceased from work on the seventh day. It was meant to be a blessing to man, not a burden. But how often do we make the Sabbath? You can't iron. You better not be cooking. Had them clothes pressed the day before. You better not play no cards. You better put them dominoes away. Because it's the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. But how many already know that Jesus is our Sabbath rest? And what do I mean by that? That we were working and struggling and trying to find a way to God. Trying to keep our rituals and our rules that we could not keep. But God sent his son into the world to become our Sabbath rest. So that we can cease from the work of our struggles and our trying and depend upon him and to depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. But how often are we distracted by good things? How often are we distracted by the blessings that God gives us and we make them the ultimate thing? That we worship the gift more than the gift giver. That we worship our relationships and our finances and our possessions and our jobs. And again, even Sunday worship, it's got to be just like this. I wonder sometimes how many people come into the house of God on a Sunday. And rather than worship, they're criticizing. Well, that song was too long. That wasn't my song. Such and so lead that song, and so they need to give back to her. The temperature just ain't right in here. It's too warm. It's too cold in here. How many people come in to worship? Or how many come in with rules? Who she thinks she is? Oh, she got a purse like that, so she thinks she's somebody. Don't let rules get into place in the way of your worship. Don't let your rules, the stuff that's in your head, your biases and your preference get in the way of worship of the true and the living God. Sometimes we take good things, we make them the ultimate things, but when they become ultimate things, they can be destructive in our walk with God. They can be destructive in the way we see other people and serve other people and deal with other people in our lives. Sometimes good things can distract us from God things. Jesus is our ultimate objective. I love what Jesus says to all of us. Come to me, all that are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. You're yoked to your rules and your requirements and your rituals and your traditions, but when you're yoked to him, you can drop all of that stuff. Am I saying that we put down the word of God? Am I saying that we walk in disobedience? I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is when Jesus says, here's the right thing to do. Do the right thing. Don't let your rules cause you to trip and to misuse people and mistreat people and look down on other people because you have your own preferences and your own biases. And good things become an ultimate thing. Ultimately, the good thing can become destructive. I'm almost done, y'all. It's the last thing. Because we don't want to let our rules, our stuff get in the way of doing what's right and doing what God would have us to do. This last thing, and I'm done. When rules aren't right, let go of the rule for Christ's sake. Verses 5 and 6, he looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Jesus was angry and sad. Two emotions at the same time. He was angry with them because of their rules and their preferences and their biases, but he was also sad. Because here stood before them a man with a deformed hand, a man with a need, and they didn't even really look on him. That meant nothing to him. And the text says that they had hard hearts. A hard heart it's like a bone that's so calcified, that's so brittle that the only way you can fix it is to break it. Don't have a hard heart. Don't let your rules and your rituals and your ways of thinking cause you to have a hard heart as it relates to other people. Maybe they're unsaved people. Maybe they're people that you say, I just don't know if I like that person. But don't let your heart become hardened. Because maybe God will simply have to break it. But in the text, their hearts would not break. Rather than rolling up on Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, man, you gave us that great analogy about that sheep and that way. That made a whole lot of sense to us, Jesus. And so we're wrong. We're wrong. I'm sorry, Jesus. We're wrong. And so the man needs to be healed. We prefer people over animals and things and our own rules. There are people that worship rules rather than worshiping Jesus. It's a dangerous thing, y'all, when our rules help us say, listen, I'm right, but God, you're wrong. It's dangerous when we refuse to let go of our own rules and our own ways of thinking. I thought about this at one time. What? Disobedience is really just saying no to God's rules and yes to mine. God says, I need to let go. My rule says, I'm holding on. God's rule says, I want you to forgive. Even though they did you wrong. Anybody in here ever went to somebody and asked them to forgive you and you ain't even done nothing wrong? Yeah. Oh, that got real quiet right there. For the sake of the relationship, you went to them and said, forgive me, you ain't done nothing wrong. But my rule says, no, they got to come to me first. They offended me. They hurt me. Come to me. Come on. Let go of the rules in your head. That when our hearts are ruled by the compassion of God, the love of Jesus Christ, y'all, we can let go of some of our own stuff. We can let go of it. When compassion rules our hearts, we're more willing to let go of our rules and we trust God. We trust in God's truth. We trust in God's plan. We choose people as a priority. Breaking some rules to believe and follow Jesus might even mean, y'all, it might even mean your breakthrough. Did you hear what I said? The man was healed by Jesus. Hallelujah, praise God. But hear what I just said again. Breaking rules sometimes may mean a matter of your breakthrough. As I close, I'm reminded of a woman that showed up in a crowd one day. And I'm trying, Ruth, I'm trying. And the Bible says that she had an issue of blood for some 12 long years. The Bible says she went to doctor after doctor, but she could not find a remedy. The word says that she spent all the money that she had and she was broke, y'all. But something within her said that when she was there in the crowd, that Jesus was passing by, that he would be in the crowd. But I need y'all to hear this woman with this issue of blood. That meant that she was ceremonially unclean. How dare this woman break the rule and go into the crowd and break through the crowd, touching people. That was not the rule. She should have stood afar off and done nothing, but she breaks through the crowd. That here is this woman in this day that reaches out and touches the robe of Jesus, touches the robe of a Jewish man, that she broke the rules, y'all. But she knew if she was going to get her breakthrough, listen, bump the rules. That she wanted her breakthrough. There's somebody here today, you need to break some rules in your head. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. Break the rules. Reach out and take hold of Jesus. Take a hold of his robe and his hand and allow Jesus to give you a breakthrough in your life. Somebody hear me today. Because there's somebody here right now and you say, the rules say I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. That I've done too much. But those are the rules in your head. But Jesus' rule is this, that he loves you with an everlasting love. And all he's asking you to do is to stretch forth your hand and to come to him and receive the breakthrough that he wants to give you. Receive the deliverance that he wants to give you. Receive salvation from him today. But are you willing to let go of your rules and let those rules break at the feet of Jesus Christ? Amen. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you even now, Jesus, that you were the rule breaker. When death said you're over and done with, that there's nothing beyond that, that you came down through 40 and two generations, and Isaiah said it best, you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes we were healed. That you were buried in a grave, but 3 days later you got back up with all power. You defy the rules of death. and you lived again that we might live again and that we might spend eternity with you someday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the Son. Son, thank you for giving your life. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for breaking the rule of death, living again. And now you live eternally with the Father in heaven. And your word says that whosoever calls upon you shall be saved. And so we pray right now for anyone that's under the sound of my voice that may not have a relationship with Jesus, that they would know today just how much they're loved by Jesus. That they're bringing their rules to him. They're bringing their rules to you. I don't measure up. I don't matter. I'm not right. And you're simply saying, lay aside the rules. Just come to me. Like the songwriter said, I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in you a resting place. And you have made me glad. I pray, oh God, that someone would hear your voice today. That they would not harden their hearts. That we all admit that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. That we repent and we turn from our sins and we turn to Jesus. And we believe in this very moment, Father, that you sent your Son Jesus into the world to die for our sins. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power. We confess this Jesus with our lips and with our hearts. We confess him as the Lord of our lives, our Savior and our Lord, that we give our lives to him right now. We believe in our hearts, oh God, that you raised him up, that we might have salvation. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your saving power through Jesus. Again, it's this Jesus we confess right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.